Welcome into a new Buff Stampede Radio. Adam Mustard-Tiger, the publisher of BuffStampede.com, joined by Will Burnett, who has been covering the Buffs in the NFL all season. He's also been keeping an eye on the Buffaloes. We're going to get a chance to talk to him about what it's like, the perception of Colorado's football program, where he lives out in Los Angeles, following 3-9, and reasons for optimism, pessimism going forward with the current Buff squad. But Will, in your wheelhouse right now is this Buffs in the NFL stuff, and you've done a great job with it all season. There's one remaining Buff left here leading into the Super Bowl.
Brady Russell, if you would have asked me when the season started which Buff would be the Buff going to the Super Bowl, I don't know if anybody would have slated Seattle, led by Sam Darnold, and the only remaining Buff being Brady Russell. That being said, if you really break it down, he has been the most consistent Buff, so maybe it is right that he is going to the Super Bowl. I think it's going to be a pretty great matchup for him. He's a special teams guy, and he does that part well. He'll get a few fullback snaps here and there, but not a lot of highlight reel stuff from him. But it would be cool if you could see him host the Lombardi Trophy. Just being a former Buff at the end, it would be cool to just check that box off as not a few, not a ton of Buffs have experienced that Super Bowl glory. So that would be cool to see.
Yeah, like you mentioned, mostly a special teams guy. He was on the field for 506 plays over those 18 games for Seattle up to this point. 440 of them have been on special teams, five different special teams units. Like you mentioned, does get on offense, 66 offensive snaps. His 13 tackles on special teams actually lead Seattle. They're a fairly heavy favorite going into this. 4.5 is, I don't know, it's not a huge line, but for a Super Bowl, when you're getting down to the top two teams, as far as what they've done from a performance standpoint in the playoffs, that's a pretty big line.
Yeah, I agree. And I having watched the AFC Championship and seeing how stagnant it felt like the Patriots offense was, and how fast Seattle's defense is, I think that that's actually kind of a generous line. I think that Seattle's actually gonna win that game by a deeper margin than that. 4.5 doesn't seem like a ton, but you're right, it's still the Super Bowl, and these two teams obviously are closer than they are far apart, but I don't see a world where Sam Darnold lets up on what he's been doing. The kid has been balling, and it's been a long process for him. And there are parallels that I see between his story and potentially the Shedeur Sanders era in the NFL. You talk about a guy who went to not a great organization to start off and was kind of a journeyman, and look at him now. So it's possible.
Yeah. So Brady Russell, we'll see if he can get that Super Bowl championship. We saw the initial introduction between Shedeur Sanders and Todd Monken, the Cleveland Browns' new head coach. That seemed to go pretty well. A nice, lighthearted greeting there. What are your expectations there? Do you have a lot more optimism, a little more optimism now that they've got a head coach that seems to really kind of appreciate Shedeur Sanders?
I'm a lot more optimistic. If you think about how awkward and uncomfortable Shador's first introduction to the Browns was, compared to this one where they let him into the coaching room. I'm sure all of us saw the clip where Todd Monken kind of shoved him and said, "Hey, I tried to draft your ass last year," and that was a I thought that was a genuine, authentic moment between the two, and it says two things to me that. Last year, as the coordinator for the Baltimore Ravens, which is what Todd Monken was, he saw enough in Shador where he was willing and wanted to take a risk on him. And obviously, what we saw through some reports was that the Sanders family kind of said, "Hey, respectfully, we don't want to be behind Lamar Jackson and put Shador in a potential spot to just be a backup." But like Todd Monken said, it all worked out. And I'm a lot more optimistic about it. Todd Monken, he's an offensive guy. He tries to utilize receivers in a specific way where it's not always going to be deep balls and everything like that, but he's going to let you open it up when you can. And I saw Shelby Harris say something the other day, who's a defensive player on the Browns, and said in the beginning of the year, with Dillon Gabriel, it was more dink and dunk. And the thing that we love about watching Shador is, he can do everything on the field, but he's not afraid to take a shot either. And we saw that early on. I think that in the NFL, if you get a guy who believes in you and wants to curate an offense around you, that's going to go a long way. And I'm hoping that Shador finally has that with Todd Monken. I think that that's going to be so important for him this year.
And it seems like he can just relate to younger players a little bit better too, which is great, not just for Shador, but a lot of those talented young guys that the Browns brought in last year that seem to have a bright future. Because Todd Monken was recently the OC at Georgia and won a couple national championships there, serving with Kirby Smart. So I definitely think that you should always be pessimistic when it's the Cleveland Browns, but maybe a little less pessimistic today than a couple weeks ago.
For sure. No, well, adding to that, Todd Monken, like you said, he was the coordinator at Georgia, won two titles with them. He was set up to be a college football head coach at a Power Four, most likely. He chose, and it was his own words, he said, "I chose to be back in the NFL because my dream is to be an NFL head coach." So that added pressure and desire for him to not just be an NFL coach, but to be a head coach. And to be a successful head coach, that puts a lot more precedence on how he needs to find a way to make this work with Shador. And as we've seen, Shador's been able to handle just as much pressure as I've seen any rookie, especially a late round rookie draft, handle in the history of me watching football. So, he's ready for the moment. I think it's going to be a good duo for sure.
Nate Landman is he justifiably got paid finally in the NFL. This is somebody that was definitely producing higher than what his bank account was showing. But now he's about to make nearly 16 million guaranteed, and more so if he sticks around with the Rams throughout the length of his contract there. Just who in general has the best chance to improve themselves, be that next Nate Landman, to really capitalize in the NFL?
Like you said, Nate Landman, if you watched Colorado football, if you were a fan, an avid fan, this is not surprising to you that Nate Landman did what he did. I think just what you said, we're just happy that the guy got paid. It was a long time coming, and he is such a valuable piece in that Rams linebacker core. Who do I think is going to be take a step next season? Obviously, the obvious answer is you want to see Travis Hunter get back to be full health. That was the guy that felt like the most anticlimactic moment for Colorado fans. We were all waiting. I think the whole nation was waiting to see this kind of Travis Hunter experience that we all saw in Boulder for 2 years, and then it ended, it ended early, in not the best way. So I believe, now that Jacksonville kindly has their momentum going and they have an identity on offense and defense for him, I think that he'll come in and be able to be successful. As far as the other guys, I want to see BJ Green take a step in the NFL, just because I think that as the season went on, he didn't get any snaps in that final playoff game, which was a bummer. But they were showing that they were trusting him more and more. I think that if he spends a full offseason with Jacksonville, and really locks into that, he's going to be good. And I think, Jimmy Horn in Carolina, he's another kind of fan favorite, but he's another guy that you want to see take that next step. I think he's got the speed and the ability, especially with these pass-heavy offenses and a team like Carolina. He ended the year on a really unfortunate play. I think that's going to stick with him in the offseason with that drop ball. And I think he's going to come back stronger. He's a tough player, mentally, as we saw, as well as just a player. So those are the two guys that I'm kind of watching for.
On the flip side of that, somebody that's been in the league and made a lot of money, had a lot of success, Chidobe Awuzie is going to be a free agent. I'm anxious to see. Do you think he gets, another starting opportunity out there? It seems like when he's been healthy, he's always produced at the NFL level. It's just been tough for him to stay healthy at times.
Yeah, especially this last year, health was a real concern at times. It fluctuated a lot. When he's in there and he's at full strength, he is a top veteran in your secondary. And you saw Baltimore move him from corner to nickel to safety at times. So, kind of that NFL lifespan of a cornerback who, as the years go on and there's wear and tear, they kind of move you back into the safety reins, kind of what Jalen Ramsey's doing a little bit. And they did that with Patrick Peterson. Not saying he's on that same level, but he's a great veteran. And I actually believe that Cleveland might take a shot at getting him. He's a familiar face there. And during those matchups, he did his thing versus Cleveland for sure. They got a lot of draft capital. They got a lot of cap that they can throw around. So I think look for that.
If Todd Monken can get Colorado fans to start hoping that Buffs go to Cleveland, that means he did a pretty good job there. So we'll see how that turns out. And yeah, I think that Cheeto is definitely shown enough at the NFL to get one more shot somewhere. Looking ahead to this upcoming NFL draft class, it's a little different than it was a year ago. The Pro Timing Day event in Boulder was a huge event this past year, just unlike anything that I had ever covered at Colorado in terms of the number of NFL personnel in that building. You're not going to have that again this year. Do the Buffs get anybody drafted? Are there some guys that are undrafted free agent possibilities that you see having a chance to really stick in the NFL long term?
Yeah, you compare it to the last few years. I can only imagine what it was like being in that building on that pro day, and the amount of scouts that were there. It felt like one of these big time universities who just produces NFL talent left and right. There certainly has been a drop off this year. I see a lot of guys who are going to get opportunities to make the 53-man roster. But I see a lot of undrafted free agents. The only, I think, surefire guy who I could see getting drafted late would be a Sincere Brown, only because his measurables are what the NFL looks for. He's a big 6'5" receiver. He was a little inconsistent for Colorado this year, but you get a big body like that on the outside, I think that teams are looking for that. I love a guy like Arden Walker, an edge rusher, obviously one of Colorado's own from Cherry Creek. He's a guy that I look for. Zy Chrisler, he I think might have to gain a little weight and get a little bigger in the weight room on this offseason, but I think he's a potential. And then you got the guys like Preston Hodge, who I think is going to get an opportunity to try and fight his way on a roster. I could definitely see him being a pretty pivotal part on a practice squad because he is a good player. But as we saw, there was ups and downs with him in his career with Colorado. So, what guys do you see going into the getting opportunities this year?
Well, I could see Amari McNeil being somebody that's got a chance, and I don't know if he gets drafted, but when he was healthy the last couple of years and fully engaged, he had some really nice stretches on that defensive line. And I know that Zaire McGill doesn't necessarily have the measurables, but I could see him being a practice squad guy in the NFL for 12, 15 years because he is such a smart, disciplined football player. And he's not small by any stretch. He's certainly going to be able to have enough size to give an honest look if he's a practice team player. And maybe he surprises us and does better than that. And then Xavier Hill, who played next to him at guard this past year, was somebody that I thought had some really nice moments in there as well. But you're right. I don't think you're going to be tuning into the NFL draft. And if you're holding your breath as a Colorado fan for the next Buff selection, that might not turn out well for you. We'll see. And we got to get through Pro Timing Day, and there could be a guy that surprises, that kind of boosts his stock. And As they say, it only takes one team to, fall in love with an Amari McNeil in the fifth or sixth round. We saw Jordan Carroll get drafted after 16, way earlier than anybody expected by the Dallas Cowboys. So sometimes it's kind of difficult to predict, but maybe one Buff gets drafted this year, as things look right now.
And all things considered, this was a really tough rebuild year for Colorado. This kind of feels, I feel a lot more optimistic moving forward. But this was a rebuild year that I don't think anyone could quite expect it dropped down to kind of how the year finished. There was only a few consistent starters on that team. A lot of guys would start a few games and then not so much. So if you get one or two guys who get an opportunity, like you said, you have the pro day that someone, a scout falls in love with, whether it's measurables, whether it's IQ, anything like that, and they get an invite to the combine. I think that's all you can ask for as a Colorado Buff to the NFL fan right now.
And this is tough to answer because so many of the upperclassmen in Colorado's program are new transfers that we have yet to see go through an official practice with the Buffaloes. But are there any guys that you kind of look at on this upcoming 2026 roster that go, okay, I think this could be an NFL guy down the road?
Leonga Lefau. I think that he's got the instincts of Nate Landman. I watched him obviously a little bit at Texas, and then when the Buffs got him in the transfer portal, I dug a little deeper on his film. He's an instinctual linebacker, and being in the SEC and being able to fly around like that is not a small feat. I think that he'll immediately come in into Colorado and make a very, very strong impact. And Danny Scudero also, he's the wide receiver from San Jose State. Blitnikoff semifinalist, he led the nation in receiving yards. I think that with this kind of new offense on Colorado, he's going to have a chance to showcase and potentially make his way into the NFL in the following year for the draft. And I think the biggest question mark, and I'll ask you about this too to follow up, Boo Carter. I think we all remember that he was a potential Buff when coming out of high school. I think that Colorado offered him, and there was some potential for him to come to Colorado. He ultimately decided to go to University of Tennessee. Things transpired, happened. I think he missed a couple practices, and they let him go. So he's coming back to Colorado, which was a potential destination point. He is a for sure game changer if he's got the ability to, as a returner, as a corner, he can change the game, and he showed that he was able to do that at Tennessee. It's going to be a matter of if he can come into Colorado and lock in how the coaching staff wants him to, and he can kind of mature in that role. I think he's got a bright future as well.
Yeah, it's all up to Boo Carter at this point. Everybody's heard what happened at Tennessee, and this is an opportunity for a fresh start. And he's certainly going to have the support system to have success going forward if he wants to show up and put in the work. Yeah, those are three good names to throw out there. I had three different names. I started with Randon Fontanette coming over from Vanderbilt, a big box safety that I think he's got NFL size. If he can put it all together this season, I th actually think he plays kind of a similar role to Taufik Bayard. So I'm not going to say it's an upgrade over him in terms of college production, but just in terms of an NFL body, he's got more of that with what those scouts are going to be looking for. DeAndre Moore Jr. coming over from Texas, talking to people in Austin, it sounds like he's been right on the cusp of just putting it all together, and if he can do that at Colorado this season, I think he's going to probably be their number one or two option at the receiver position. And then I had Justin Eglin coming over from James Madison. He was one of the fastest Buffs during their early spring semester testing. Somebody that has enough size to play in the NFL, so I could see him as a guy that could potentially fill in the role of what they're losing with DJ McKinney. And frankly, McKinney was not all that great this past year. So you could even possibly get an upgrade there. We'll see.
No, I the, you're right. The safety coming in from Vandy. Losing Taufik Bayard was a massive blow. That was one that I felt that, I wanted him to stick around. And obviously, you understand that it's different than just coaching. There's a lot of money that's being offered, and you go elsewhere. That's just the way that it is these days. But getting somebody to fill that role and not have to have that kind of gaping safety hole there, as we've seen in previous years, I think that that's going to be big for that defense.
You live in Moss out there in Los Angeles?
Say that again?
Are you living Moss?
Of course. Of course I'm living Moss. Absolutely.
What's the go-to at Taco Bell for Will Burnett?
Okay. Cheese quesadilla. I get it with the steak. I get a Doritos Locos Tacos. I'm trying to hold it to one, but lately I've been getting two, maybe three. I'm getting a little puffy. I got to kind of curb this a little bit. And then a large Baja Blast. I've gotten that since I was a kid. I don't know where you get Baja Blast except for Taco Bell. So that's probably my biggest treat there. But yeah, absolutely. I'm living Moss. I'm living Moss out here, Adam. I'm living Moss out here.
You always love to hear it. Taco Bell, they're excited to share that they are officially bringing back the iconic Quesarito for a limited time. And you know what that means for Denver fans, because Nikola Jokic was drafted by the Denver Nuggets with the 41st pick in the NBA draft. And during this time, the telecast had cut out to commercial, which featured the launch of Taco Bell's Quesarito. So this cemented a legacy connection between Taco Bell and the Joker, and the Joker is now officially tied to the Quesarito, and he's a believer. So if you're a Nuggets fan, a Buffs fan, Taco Bell's been supporting sports across the Front Range, and this is a great way to support your local favorite team. Even better is that Taco Bell has brought back its spicy volcano sauce to pair with the Quesarito to take up the heat another level. So get to Taco Bell and celebrate the Joker and pick up the Volcano Quesarito today. And while you're at it, don't forget to grab something from Taco Bell's crispy chicken menu. It could be a taco, burrito, or strips. Taco Bell's crispy chicken delivers every single time. And with the football playoffs taking full effect, be the hero of the party and don't forget to pick up a crispy chicken game day pack featuring chicken strips, soft tacos, and Taco Bell's amazing nacho fries. This is definitely a winning combination. Live Moss at Taco Bell. And on Taco Tuesday, you can really get bang for your buck with a $7 Supreme Luxe Box. It's going to come with a beefy five-layer burrito, chicken chalupa supreme, crunchy taco, and cinnamon twist. I know what's going to be William Gardner's next order when he goes to Taco Bell. We are now joined by Will's older sister, Molly Burnett. Molly, also a Buff. Welcome into the show.
I'm so happy to be here, Adam. How you doing?
I'm doing well. Yeah, no, Will has done a great job breaking down the Buffs in the NFL. I wanted to bring you in with him as well, just to kind of get the take on what it's like to be a Buffs fan out in Los Angeles. I'm sure you've seen it shift a lot of different directions over the years, especially during this Coach Prime era.
Absolutely. Well, first of all, this kid right here is the reason I love football. He is the heart of the sport. He'll break down film to me. He's been, I mean, the sole reason I love football as much as I do. He didn't anticipate I would love it as much as I do now. It's kind of an obsession. As well as it just started like, oh, that's a fun play and that's a cool team and whatever. Now I'm kind of gone a little hard in the paint, but I'm so grateful for him and his knowledge and his stories, and it's so fun that y'all are doing this together and sharing this, the gift that is Colorado and the Buffs. I'll say this, I've been in LA for about since 2008, I think, and I've been rocking Buff gear by proxy of my dad and brother since I was about 3 or 4, and nobody really had any idea who they were until more recently. And one of the things that annoys me, and it shouldn't, because we want more. It's like when you have an indie band that you love and then they blow up and you're like, I liked them first. I'm trying not to be that person, but I wore a Buffs. Was it the 2008 Orange Bowl? What's that sweatshirt I
Yeah,
have?
that retro. No, it's not. It's like 1988. 88 Orange Bowl or something like
Yeah.
that. Yeah.
Old awesome one that I found at some thrift shop, and I'm going to a workout class, and the guy's like, "Oh, welcome to the Buffs." And I looked at him, I was like, "Are you kidding me?" I was like, "Did you just become a Buff fan because of Deion?" He goes, "Love Deion Sanders." I was like, "Then I should be welcoming you to our new contingency." So I've been trying to curb that a little bit.
It's been crazy out here the last few years. We've cooled off a little bit. I don't get as many people giving me the head nod or the go Buffs as I did in the last few years. You know, I'd wear my hats or backpack gear around, and it felt like in that 2 year span, you really couldn't go anywhere, whether it was the airport, whether it was a restaurant, and someone not say something about the Buffs, because it was we started off kind of as the Cinderella team a little bit, and then we became a media darling, and then we became polarizing all of a
Right.
sudden.
The people got mad at us all of a sudden and annoyed with us, which that was a fast turn. It was like three games and everybody's like, ah.
So it was definitely something that was an unexpected turnout here, but it's been fun, and you know, it's a down year. It was a down year last year, and I think that now is the time, you know, out here where we kind of just have to see what is the plan for the future, and our new head coach, Brennan Marion, with the go-go offense, and bringing in new guys like that. I think there's some good things to look forward to.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, this is, listen, Colorado is not the big SEC where they just got money coming in, people coming in, and you can lose your quarterback and your Heisman Trophy winner and then just bounce back the next year. Like, we're working on our culture, we're working on the energy. The world is finally seeing that Folsom is the most beautiful stadium on the planet. We're happy to share that with everybody. But it was so funny because our dad and I were just at Sundance last weekend, big Sundance. They called it the last dance because it's the last time it was at Park City, which was kind of a bittersweet moment. But knowing that Sundance is going to Boulder next year is so exciting. And fun fact, Robert Redford, rest in peace, the icon that created Sundance, he's a Buff. He went there on a baseball scholarship, which is so fun. And his kids went there. So it's Buff City, and I cannot wait for not only our football team to go there and flourish, but also Sundance to be there for the rest of the country and the world to see just how beautiful and incredible Boulder is.
You did say somebody at Sundance recognized your logo or your Buffs gear, though, right?
So great. So, you see some people in Buff's gear, some not, but there was a guy walking head to toe Buff gear, and I go, "All right, here we go, Buffs." And he turns around and he goes, and my dad was cracking up because dad is a Buff alum, diehard. I mean, I think he was holding Will and me when the Buffs, won the chip in 91. He said he almost threw both of us. It was such a stressful game. But dad goes, "There, you very rarely have somebody, wearing Buff gear, much less knowing any of our, Hook'em and all the other stuff." But to throw up the Buff horns,
It's a cool
that
moment.
was a cool moment.
I don't know
So
if you see that 5 years ago.
I don't think
No,
so.
no. How did your father become a Buffs fan? Did he go to see you?
He did. Yeah, he went to University of Colorado, and he actually played lacrosse there too. He was going to walk on for the football team as well. He's a big we never had a choice. This was just kind of what it was. Like I said, there was moments where, you know, I remember being a kid and going to Folsom and watching Jeremy Bloom and Chris Brown and Vickers and all those guys, Ben Kelly, all those great Buffs. So it was never an option for us. It was black and gold, and that's the way it's always been.
Really from the jump too. And that's tough because as I was getting into football, because I was a theater kid, I didn't get into football till way later on in the trajectory of my life. And I go, "Why couldn't we've been Alabama or LSU or Ohio State? Like, at least you win a couple games. This is brutal." But we stayed humble. We stayed in love with the team, and now we're starting to get fed a little bit with Dion and his vision and just the energy and the hope and the excitement. Who's the new coach that they just hired who had that cowboy hat?
Brennan Marion, yeah. He's the new offensive coordinator, bringing the go-go
Alum.
offense. What do you think about that, Adam? What do you what's your optimism and pessimism level moving forward this year?
Well, I'm a little biased because Brennan Marion was actually a candidate to be the offensive coordinator in Boulder back in 2020 when Carl Durrell was the head coach. And this is back when Marion was at Pittsburgh before he had become a head coach at the FCS level. And a lot of us heard the rumors that he was interviewing for the job and started kind of doing our internet sleuthing on him. And I fell in love with some of the concepts that he had. So they didn't hire him then. They went with Mike Sanford. And I don't really think it would have mattered who the OC in Boulder was in 22. That was not going to go well, probably. So probably a good thing for Marion's arrival to be now as opposed to back then. But I just think, when you're at this level, creativity is the name of the game, especially when you're not going to be able to have the $60 million NIL budget that Texas Tech in the same conference as you is going to have. So I like a lot of the concepts. I do think that this is the biggest hire that Coach Prime is going to make in Boulder. We've seen hires on paper that look great that don't turn out well, and vice versa. This is one that I think looks good on paper that's going to turn out well. So we'll see.
Yeah.
That's the fun of football, though, right? Nothing happens the way it should. Everything is, that's the magic of the sport.
Yeah.
And there's something that's a guaranteed hit and it misses, and there's something that's a miss. We were just talking about Philip Lindsay being a Buff and not getting drafted and walking off and changing the whole trajectory of the run game for the Broncos. Like, that's the magic of football. And I'm so excited to see him come at the right time. That was good timing because, when you date somebody, you're like, God, I wish I met you 3 years from now because this just isn't quite ready. I'm happy to see the coach come in at the right time. I want to see what the X's and O's are like because just the speech, I'm ready to run through a brick wall, but now I want to see him apply
Yep.
it to the team and see what happens. So.
When you know what we kind of saw with what Indiana's been able to do, we're not going to be the Texas Tech. We don't have the massive budget. We can't buy these players. We can't do what the Ohio States and the Georgias and stuff like that do. But what Indiana was able to do kind of set that blueprint of you don't necessarily need to go by the 4 and 5 star guys. You can get guys who fit your ideologies and kind of your recruiting algorithm and what pertains to the offense that or defense or scheme that you're trying to run and have success over that. So it seems like we're getting a lot of FCS guys in there. And if you look a few years back, maybe as a Buff fan, you'd be bummed out to not have these big transfer portal guys and these big names. But I think Indiana proved by skating through this year that they were able to do it in a different way without the massive budget. So that gives me some optimism moving forward too.
Well, and I'll say this, not to keep bringing it back to film, but I'm an actor, so I guess that is what I do. But sometimes the projects and the films that have the unknown actors with the epic chemistry, those are the ones that really hit. It's not always just about having the A-lister, and Signetti and Indiana showed that while Mendoza was and will be, I think, a killer in the NFL, there, I don't think there was a single five-star on that team, right? Versus the U that
No.
had like 44 and
Yeah.
five stars, something crazy like that. And
Yeah.
they all bought in and they all worked together and the chemistry was there. So I think we got to get non-linear. Deion's got to get non-linear because we're not, like he said, going to get the big money NIL. So what's your heart look like? And how much of it do you want to put on the field for Deion and the team and the fans and see if we can make some magic happen?
And that's one of the lessons that Colorado learned last year is that as quick as this transfer portal process is of having to vet these guys and bring them in, as you've really got to get to the core of their character, because there were some guys collecting checks in that locker room last year. And sometimes it's hard to really know the makeup of your locker room until you hit that adversity. But you've got a lot more team captains coming into the program now. I think there's been a real premium put on that, which was sorely missing in this program, and why they're coming off a 3-9 season. Of course, injuries played into that as well. I'm curious, with you guys growing up in Denver, how often were you able to make it up to Folsom Field growing up?
All the time. When I was filming on SVU, I flew home. This was 2022. This was Deion's first season, and it was the spring game. I literally flew from New York, took that weekend off of filming to go watch the spring game, and that it was packed. And Dad was like, "There's like, I don't know, 100 people that show because this is spring game. It's snowy. It's whatever." And that it was rocking and rolling. So this is fun to see. But what was the game where they rushed the field? You, me, and Dad went to?
Well, the Cal game when the 1-11 year, the infamous 1-11 year, where they barely beat Cal and everyone rushed the field, and that was kind of looking from that moment to, to years that would follow is just kind of almost feels like a fever dream at some point. But yeah, we were at the North Dakota State game. We grew up going to Buffs games, probably maybe three or four every year. That's just kind of what it was. And whether we weren't physically at Folsom, it's on Saturdays. And probably the best part about this Dion era, this Coach Prime era, is that we get the games out here now because they're all nationally televised games. It used to be we'd have to, try
Taxi
and
after dark.
jimmy rig the Pac-12 network on DirecTV to try and just get some game, even if I was on a computer, to watch the Buffs. Now we have access to doing that, so we can really, really, truly follow them in that way. So
Well,
it's
and
been.
because it was Pac-12, we'd go, before Will was living out here, he and Pops would come out and I'd get us tickets to, they'd play SC, go SC, and we'd wear our black and gold, and the people in the stadium wouldn't even be dogging us. They'd just be like, "Hey, you guys doing okay? Like, how you guys gonna survive? Everything's gonna be okay." We're like, "Don't placate us, okay? We're doing the best we can." And now we're competitive and it's fun. And oh gosh, but Folsom is, and I'm biased obviously, but Folsom is the most beautiful stadium there
It's the
is.
greatest. And Adam, I was gonna ask you, I know obviously the Big 12 move has you traveling to a lot of different destinations. Do you miss those West Coast trips at all? The beach trips or
Yeah, so when I would come out, because they would play in LA once a year, because it was either one game at UCLA on the road or one game at USC. And I would book the earliest flight on Friday. I would have my running gear on under my jeans, and I would go right to Manhattan Beach, Hermosa
Beautiful.
Beach, and Redondo Beach, and do that whole boardwalk, and then get Roscoe's Chicken and Waffle, get checked into my hotel. I really miss that. It's been a couple
Oh,
years now, and
Manhattan,
I'm
Kansas
really
doesn't
missing.
have the in Manhattan, Kansas, and Manhattan Beach. Those aren't the same. That's
No. Bummer, bummer. Every place has good things about it, but when there's a beach, it holds the trump card for me every day of the week. So, well, I'm gonna let you guys get on this, and I'm gonna put you on the spot. If you need to think about it for a second, that's fine. I want to know your favorite Buff of all time.
Oh, mine's easy. But you do yours first.
No, you do yours first because I might have to think actually.
Oh, really?
Too many to choose from. Too many to choose from, but you go first,
Well,
Mom.
mine is the great Salaam,
Rashawn
and
Salaam.
Rashawn Salaam, may he rest in peace. Just
Yeah.
the epic. That was some of the first footage that Will and Dad showed me, of like, this is what he was on our team. He was a Heisman Trophy winner. And look what he did. That and the other favorite one is Wizard White.
Yeah, no, I mean, she. I don't know if film exists from Byron Wizard White days, but we've all, our dad passed on the lore that was Byron White,
Well, you just
and
read his bio and it's like, how could one human being do this in
accomplished
one
all those
lifetime?
things.
Unbelievable. And he's got the coolest picture at our house of JFK and Wizard White with Buff coffee cups, like looking out at the
At
stadium
Folsom,
talking at
that's
both.
awesome.
It's this
That's
black and
awesome.
white picture. We got it at that. There's that amazing photography shop on Pearl Street. I can't think of the name of it, but we got it there. And no, yeah, I mean, you're right. You can spend. I just casually clicked on his Wikipedia page one day, and you fast forward 5 hours, and I'm only three quarters of the way through. I'm like, how much did this man accomplish in
Yeah.
his life? Like, so
You feel a little inadequate. You're
you.
like, boy, I got out of bed at noon today. Like, what am I doing with my life?
For sure, for sure.
Who's yours? What's your?
I gotta say Jeremy
I
Bloom.
knew it was gonna be Jeremy
I
Bloom.
gotta say Jeremy Bloom. I was the punt returner. I was the little speedy receiver. I was that. So I probably non-accurately saw a lot of myself in him. He was also I believe a model and a gold medal skier. So we can't.
Another really big resume going on with that buff.
True. Him and my honorable mention would probably have to be Chris Brown. I just remember watching Chris Brown and just run all over people during those great Buffs years, and he always ran really upright, tall. He never really got low, but he was speedy. And once he hit the open field, nobody was catching him. So those are probably two of my favorites. What about you? What would you say?
Well, we got to go back to Jeremy Bloom real quick because I don't know if you saw, but his house is up for sale right now. If you've got $14 million laying around,
Yeah,
you
for
can take
sure.
it off his hands.
Perfect.
We might have, yeah, I don't
Perfect
know.
balls.
Yeah. So I saw the pictures
It's
in the Walgreens.
unbelievable. Yeah.
Wow.
Gorgeous.
Unbelievable. Yeah,
Gorgeous.
you're right. Yeah, no, Jeremy Bloom's making he's making some good coin doing what he's doing right now.
Well,
So good for
he had
him.
asked Dion coming, didn't he? Is that the lore? Is that he kind of was like, all right, as a Buff alum and a Buff great football player, we got to figure this out.
Yeah, I think he
Yeah.
floated the idea around and but he's a great representative. He's doing the X Games and everything right now. I mean, it's he's kind of a great representative of good, really successful Colorado Buffs who have gone on.
Yeah. Favorite Buff of all time, like you, that's a tough one. I'm probably gonna go Sefolu Fau just because of the heart and determination that guy played with. I don't know if I've covered a player at the University of Colorado that's gotten more out of his ability than Sefo did. He was the guy you'd actually go out to a preseason practice and you'd kind of wonder, like, is this really a starting quarterback at this level? But when he got hit early in a game, it just ignited something in him. And he became a football player. Late in that 16 season when they won 10 games, I mean, he was basically a fullback out there playing quarterback. And and he's just a great guy off the field as well. So there's probably 40 guys I'd like to list off right now, but
Course.
if I had to pick one, I'd probably go Sefo. I
Well,
love that.
and obviously, probably on a personal level, who he is as a human and just his character and everything like that. You're right. That was when Buffs won the Pac-12 South, I believe in Folsom was that year. And no, that I remember him just getting absolutely annihilated time and time again. And you're right, something would happen and he'd crank it up and he'd win us a lot of games. Sefo's a good one.
He
That's a good
enjoyed
one.
it like Andy Luck. You'd watch him get creamed and be like, hey, that was a hell of a hit. Help back up and get back to it. And you're like, what is wrong with you? How is this? Like, this is so impressive. Also, it's been so fun to watch just in the little space that he's been doing is Jay Fleazy. Love Jimmy Horn. Love Jimmy Horn. And I drafted Travis Hunter to my fantasy football team this year. And I don't want to brag, but I did win the league last year, so I am pretty good at it. And I was thinking he's going to be like my secret weapon, right? And unfortunately, Jacksonville's still trying to figure some stuff out, figure out what to do with him on both sides of the field. And then he got injured. So, but I'm so excited to watch Trav next
Yeah,
year.
and we're not jumping ship on Trav. You're still gonna draft him in your fantasy next year, and yeah, we're not jumping ship. The Travis Hunter experience is going to work.
I also got Shador last pick of my fantasy as well. Now that was more just for like fun luck because I got a lot of judgment when I snagged Shador at the very end there. But watch him play in Cleveland. He's cooking when they let him. So I'm
Well,
excited.
that's why they have all those bench spots, right? You can at least have a couple guys to play with there at the end of it.
Bingo,
There
bingo.
you
Just
go.
for fun.
Even if it's a homer pick.
Yeah. Great stuff, guys. This was a lot of fun. We should do this again. And of course, we'll be keeping tabs on everything and we'll try to get you an expanded role on BuffStampede.com because I know people have really enjoyed your contributions. Molly, good to meet you virtually here. One of these days I got to get back out to Los Angeles because
Please.
now that you brought that up, now I'm going to get on
Come on
Frontier
out.
Airlines and see if I can find
Yeah.
a cheap flight there.
Adam, I'll come grab you. We'll go
Yep.
straight to Roscoe's
We'll
and
show
then
you
leave.
next
It's all
time.
right.
For sure. Yeah, we'll hit Manhattan Beach, get some sun.
There you
It'll be
go.
great.
Awesome. Sounds good. Thanks, guys. Appreciate you. And I appreciate everybody out there for tuning in.